half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Will Galkin. It was presented at Harvest Christian Academy in September of 2009. The title of the message, What is God Like?
You know, as I travel all over the United States and really across the world, many times I sit by his person on the airplane and they begin to talk to me and we begin to ask questions and go back and forth. What do you do for a living? And what do I do? And how does a person become a Christian? And what is a Christian? And what does this, and where does this fit? And I talk to a lot of people, and what started to happen is I've really come up some questions that I think many folks have. And the first question is this, is what is God like? You know, when we talk about God, are we talking about, what kind of God are we talking about? Are we talking about a God that is in all of us? Are we talking about the God of Islam? Are we talking about the God of the Hindus or one of the gods of the Hindus? Who is God? Well, God is the eternal creator. You see, in the beginning, there was only God. There was no world, no space, no anything besides God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1 verse 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. God is the eternal creator. You see, he is the originator of all things. He is the one that has created everything that we know. But God is eternal. He himself, though he's the creator of all things, he himself was never created and he'll never die. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1 verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. You see, God has always been. God will always be. He is the eternal creator. Then we also see that God is the Holy One. More than any other word used to describe God, the word holy is used. The Bible says this way, or it uses the illustration of light and darkness. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You see, God has never sinned. He's not the author of sin. He doesn't make us to sin. God is the absence of sin. God is the eternal creator who is the Holy One. But then we also see that God knows and sees all. The Bible says this, that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. How many of you are glad that everyone else can't read your thinking? Wouldn't it be a little bit awkward if all of a sudden we walked in here and all of our thoughts were projected on the screens? How many think that'd be a little awkward? You do too, like her. No, I don't. Yes, you do. But can I tell you something? God knows every thought you have. God knows every thought that you have. God knows every word you've ever said. God knows everything and everywhere you've ever gone, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So not only is God the eternal one, not only is he the holy one, not only does he know and see all, but he's the just and righteous judge. You see, God will never judge us for something we do not do, but everything God does is absolutely right and absolutely proper. For there's one lawgiver who's able to both to able to save and to destroy. You know justice. Let's just say that you brought to school, you're getting ready to buy something, and so you brought to school like $300 cash, and you were gonna go after school, you're gonna go buy something, and so you had it in your wallet, and then or something, and then all of a sudden somebody stole it. And it was actually stolen. You'd put it in place where there was a camera or something. And so it was on closed circuit TV. And we get it and we take it to the authorities and the police or whoever is here on the island. And the police, they see the video and they saw who it was. And the chief of police is the one that's actually doing it. And he says, you know what? That's true that that person did steal it. We've identified them, but well, you know what? To be honest with you, that person that stole it, that's my nephew. And so I'm not going to press charges. And I'm sorry, you're out $300. How many of you would be a little bit upset? You know what? You'd have a right to be upset because that's justice. I mean, that's not right. I mean, that's wrong. I mean, why did they do that? That's not the right way to do things. We all know that was wrong. But you know what? God always does what is right. And so not only is he the eternal one, and not only is he the holy one, and not only does he know and see all, but God will always judge us for what's wrong. And he'll never, though, judge us for what we do not do. But God's righteousness and his justice demand that he deal with sin and disobedience. But then you know what else? God is the loving Savior. The Bible says in 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. For God is love, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you understand that it's always been about having a right relationship with God? Do you understand that God wants a relationship? It's not just a religion. It's not just showing up at the right place on Sunday. It is truly a relationship. You cannot work for God's love. You cannot do enough good things for God to love you, because God loves you because he is God. So who is God? He's the eternal creator. He's the holy one. He's the one that knows and sees all. He's the just and righteous judge. And he's the loving Savior. But how does God show himself to us? I mean, so how do we know this God? Well, first of all, God shows himself or reveals himself through creation. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible says this in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You know what? As I travel, I see some of the most beautiful places in the world. You know what? We were sitting there the other day in Tumon Bay, and we're just watching the waves, and it was really some of the biggest waves I've seen in the four times I've been to Guam. Normally, there's not that many large waves, but just about 6 months ago, I was in Hawaii. I was on the North Shore. There were waves coming. It was right there in November, December, and so the big waves, the winter waves, are starting to come in, and you were looking at waves that were like 10 to 20 feet, and it was unbelievable. And you're just looking at these, and it's just awe-inspiring. But you know, we've traveled from the Pacific Ocean in California, and we've driven across to the Atlantic Ocean in the United States and gone across the Rocky Mountains, and you can stand on those 14,000-foot peaks, and you're looking on one side, and you see the snow-covered peaks over here, and you see these lily-covered hills over there. I mean, it's breathtaking. Who made that? God did. But whether we're talking about the vastness of creation or the intricacies of the human body, I mean, do you understand sound? Do you understand how that you can hear me right now? I mean, do you understand how that my lungs push air past my vocal cords, and then all of a sudden sound goes across, sound waves goes across on particles in the air, and it travels and it goes into your ear canal, and then it hits your eardrum, and then nerve impulses are sent through little bones, and then they hit some nerves, and the nerves project images that go across your brain. And so even as I'm speaking, you're actually seeing pictures, but your brain understands it as words and concepts. Do you understand that? God did that. You know how God reveals himself? You know how God reveals himself? He reveals himself through creation, but God reveals himself through the scriptures. The Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You don't have to wander around the boonies hoping that you find God. I mean, I got a friend. I mean, I went over to his house and his dad's house, and his dad had this 3-foot crystal, and this crystal was in the room, and he said, "Do you feel the energy?" I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, the energy from the crystal, it goes and you find God. And I'm like, dude, what you been smoking? It's just like, he's going on about God and crystals and the feeling and the magnetism and, wow, weird. No, you don't have to look for God in some mysterious experience. We see God and what he's made, but we get to know God very specifically in the Word of God, because God reveals himself in a general sense in creation, but in a very specific sense, he reveals himself in the Scriptures. So what were the first people like? That's question number three. Well, first of all, they were made in God's image. The Bible says this in Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So you were made with the ability to think. You were made with the ability to contemplate why you're on this earth. Do you know why you're on this earth, by the way? The Bible says, for thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you know that you were created for the glory of God? You've thought thoughts like, I've never had an animal. I've never had like my dog all of a sudden look up me, and the dog Rover is just sitting there, and he looks up me and he's like, starts talking. Wouldn't that be weird? Hey, Will, why am I on this earth anyway? I'd be like, dude. But you know what? Some of you've thought thoughts about that. Just 6 weeks ago, we stood at the front of our church looking at the dead body of my father-in-law. My six-year-old boy is standing right there crying. And my four-year-old at that time is looking and she's crying. And my little three-year-old kept on asking, when's grandpa gonna come home? And you know what? Some of you ask the same questions. You wonder, what is this life about? Is it just go through life and die? Is this life really about just getting possessions and getting married and having kids and dying? Is that really what this is about? No, you were made for the glory of God. You were made to know God. You were made to walk with God. You were made to enjoy God. You see, you were made in God's image, but you were made holy and full of joy. Well, the first humans were made holy and full of joy. You see, they had a right relationship with God, because happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And so they walked and they enjoyed the Garden of Eden and they enjoyed the presence of God. Do you know what? This relationship did not last because sin entered in. You see, Adam and Eve were told, you can enjoy all the garden, but do not take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you know the story, what happened? Satan came and tempted, and Eve took a piece of the fruit, and she gave to Adam, and he too disobeyed. And so what happened is sin entered in. And so sin, it goes to all of us. In fact, the first people, though they were created holy and full of joy, it did not last long because sin entered in. And you know what? That sin has been passed to all of us. And so it brings us to question number four. Do we all have a broken relationship with God? And the answer to that is yes. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have a friend who travels with me. His name's Aaron Coffey. He likes to go bow hunting. And so he's got a bow. And one day I was watching him practice. And so he's shooting his bow. Every morning he'd shoot his bow and he'd get it up there. And I was watching him. He's about 40 feet away. And he'd put that arrow in that bow and he'd let it go and he hit the bullseye. Well, one morning I thought, you know what? That can't be too hard. And so I went out there to Aaron and I said, hey, Aaron, let me shoot it once. So he notches an arrow on the string and passes me the bow. And I pull it back and I'm aiming at the target through the little sights. And I let that arrow go. We still don't know where that arrow is. I mean, I didn't just miss the red part or the blue part around the red part or the white part around the red and the blue part. I mean, I just didn't miss the hay bale. I mean, I missed the whole target. I mean, that arrow is gone. And sometimes I think that some of us think we getting into heaven is just kind of, as long as I can be in like the top three people, as long as I don't do too many bad things, as long as I don't break too much of the law. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Do you understand that every single one of us have offended God? Do you realize that every single one of us in this room have broken God's laws? Do you really understand that breaking God's laws reveals a heart problem, a heart of unbelief? I've known a lot of people that just didn't think that they were that bad of a person. They just thought, you know what, I'm really not that bad. I was talking to one kid, he was 16 years old. I got done preaching a message about John 3, verse 16 and Jesus Christ. I said, what did you think about that message? He goes, well, I don't know what the big deal is. I'm not a sinner. I go, what do you mean you're not a sinner? He goes, I'm just not a sinner. I said, well, have you ever lied before? He goes, everyone's lied before. Well, I said, have you lied? He goes, well, sure. I said, so you're a liar. He goes, well, I don't like to think of it that way. I said, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, whosoever look upon a woman and lust in his heart committed adultery already. If you've done that, you're an adulterer. And then I said, you know what else Jesus said? Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your heart, that you're guilty of murder. And he looked at me and goes, there's one guy, I just cannot stand him. And all of a sudden he looked at me and goes, man, I'm kind of bad. I said, that's what I've been trying to tell you. We're all really bad. We've all broken God's law. We've all fallen short. It's not about us doing more good things than bad things, because one sin, one aspect of breaking God's law, and we're guilty of all. You know what? There was a girl that used to travel with us on the Pettit team. And you know what? She just... She grew up in a home where she heard about Jesus Christ. It's kind of like some of you, though. You don't hear about Jesus Christ at home. You hear about Jesus Christ at the school. And so if you're not careful, after a while, just kind of like, you know, Jesus, 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 Christmas, Easter, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you don't understand that you have broken God's law. She said, well, I just never thought I was really that bad. Well, she would have asked us. We would have told her. You know what? We have all broken God's law. We have all fallen short of God's holiness. Remember who God is? He's holy. And every single one of us have fallen short. And so do we have a broken relationship with God? The answer to that is yes. And God calls that sin. And yes, God must judge our sin. You see, not only does sin separate us from God, but God will punish sin forever in hell. You see, you may think that you're escaping sin, but one day sin will catch up to you. You see, Jesus Christ, or Paul told us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is an eternal truth. This is not something that somebody made up to scare us. This is reality. Our sin demands punishment. You see, God is holy. When we sin, God's justice demands that we are punished. I took my kids to a zoo in South Carolina, and we were there, and we're hungry, and I don't know if you've been to a zoo before, but zoos are always expensive to buy food, and their food doesn't taste that good. And so here we are, I'm looking around, I'm looking at the cheapest thing, and the cheapest thing was a hot dog on a stick. It was a corn dog. I don't like corn dogs. So here I am, I'm buying corn dogs for all the kids. I've got corn dogs for everybody. And I'm paying a lot of money for corn dogs. And so I'm like, got corn dogs. And I'm griping about corn dogs and the price of corn dogs. Give me corn dogs. And I'm thumping down corn dogs for the kids. Corn dog, corn dog, corn dog. And all of a sudden I realized Lily didn't have a corn dog. Where's my corn dog? I don't know where your corn dog. I gotta buy another corn dog. Walk over to the lady, give me another corn dog. I walked right past the cash register. I didn't pay for the corn dog. I walk up to Lily, thump her corn dog down, sit down to eat my corn dog. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, I didn't pay for the corn dog. Do you know what crazy thing started going through my head? I started thinking, you know what? I paid enough money for those corn dogs to buy them 50 corn dogs. And then all of a sudden I thought, I'm not going to steal a corn dog. So I walk over to the lady. I said, ma'am, I just walked past you. And you know what she said? She goes like this. She goes, oh, if you wouldn't have come back, you could have had it for free. I said, oh, no, ma'am. It would have caught up to me one day. And you know what she said? She said, sin does that, doesn't it? Sin does that, doesn't it? Yeah, it will catch up to you one day. You see, here you are, 16, 17, you're cruising. I mean, you're loving life. I mean, what's the big deal? We're just flying. Don't you get it? It's going to catch up to you one day. You may avoid it for a couple days. You may avoid it for a week, a year. You may be 35, but one day it's appointed on a man who wants to die. And after that, the judgment. This is a big problem. We're all sinners. God's holy. God's just. We all will be judged forever. So, what's the answer? Does God have a plan to restore my relationship with Him? The answer to that is yes. You see, Jesus Christ took the punishment of death for our sin. You see, since there was no way for God to, no way for us to go to God because of our sin, do you know what happened? Listen to this great story. God came to us. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Jesus took our place on the cross. Jesus died for us. My son William, he's now six. He and I have a pretty special relationship. He loves Legos. Last year, about a year from now, when he was about five or so, I was working on my computer, and I had these earbuds in because it's a little bit loud in the trailer, and so I'm working away, and all of a sudden I feel this tap on my shoulder. And I look over, and he's got this bag of Legos. And he goes, "Dad, do you think you could have just 5 minutes to play Legos with me?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, you know," and I'm pulling out the earbuds, and we get on the ground, and we're making some spaceship with lasers and shooters and bombs, and we're just having, you know, we're just playing, and all of a sudden, he looks at me and goes, "Dad." I go, "What?" He was all uptight, you know. "What?" He goes, "Dad, it's been more than 5 minutes. You better get back to work." I'm like, "Yeah, you're right." And I stand up and he goes, "Dad, do you know who my favorite person in the world to play Legos is with?" I go, "Who?" He goes, "You." And I'm like, big S for Superman, you know. "Yeah. Anytime, kid." Can you imagine if somebody came in here and had a pistol to my son's head? You know, as his dad, I'd do something. I'd fight for him. I'd die trying. I'd take his place. Can you imagine if a gunman walked in here and placed a pistol to your head? I would not take my six-year-old and walk over to the gunman and say, "Would you shoot my son and let that person live?" No, I'd die for my son, but I would not let my son die for you. But God sent his son Jesus to die for your sins. You deserve to die. Don't you get it? You're the one that sinned. Jesus never sinned. He never broke the law. You broke the law. You deserve eternity in hell. You deserve to go and spend the eternity separate from God. But God the Father sent his son Jesus Christ for one purpose, to come to this earth and to die for your sins so that you do not have to be punished for your sin. But in turn, Jesus died to set you free. Because you know what? Jesus died, but 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered sin. He conquered death. Jesus Christ is greater than your sin. You can trust in Jesus Christ alone. There was a thief on the cross on either side of Jesus. One thief was slandering and cursing and saying, "If you're God, get down, save us." The other thief, somewhere in there, he turned from a hardness of heart and he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus Christ said to him, "This day, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You see, though you could not see it, there was sin all over this thief. He was guilty. He deserved to be separate from God for all of eternity. And though you could not see it, Jesus Christ in his righteousness, his perfection, never did he break God's law. Never did he go astray. Never did he do something selfish. You could not see it, but what was transpiring is said very well in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. "For he," that's God the Father, "hath made him," that's Jesus Christ, the God's Son, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And when this thief turned from his own self-efforts all of the sin of this thief went on Jesus, and all of Jesus Christ's righteousness went on the thief. Have you ever been saved? I'm not asking if you prayed some prayer in third grade because your teacher pressured you. I'm not asking you if you made some words because all of a sudden there was a service and a lot of other people. I'm talking about you personally. Have you ever turned from your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ alone? Have your sins been taken and God's righteousness through Jesus Christ placed on your account? You see, yes, Jesus, he took the punishment of our sin. But the question is, does God have a plan to restore my relationship with him? Yes, God saves all those who turn from their sin and trust in Jesus Christ. Do you need to be saved from your sin? But the question I actually have for you is this. Do you want Jesus more than your sin? You know what I was praying this morning? 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning. I was laying in my bed. I was saying, Lord, I really just want you. I want you to really revive my heart. I don't want to be lost in just worldly thoughts or selfish, slothful way of living. I want you. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever turned from your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ? You can. Just admit that you need God's forgiveness because of your sin. It's a no-brainer. Ask your parent. Ask your friend. Ask your teacher. It's obvious. You're a sinner. You've broken God's law. You've had outward manifestations of sin that reveal the selfishness of your heart. Just admit that you're a sinner, but then believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again from the dead. Believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came to this earth. He died for one purpose, to seek and to save those which are lost, but then call on the name of Jesus to save you, to say, Lord, I have no righteousness of my own. I am a sinner, but save me, forgive me, wash away my sin. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God forgives all those who trust in Jesus Christ alone. Why wait any longer?
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, What is God Like? From Evangelist Will Galkin. It was originally presented in September of 2009 at Harvest Christian Academy on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.org, hbcguam.org. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.